We have with us today in our Hindi program, Labour MP and Manager of Opposition Business, Tony Burke. Welcome to the Hindi program, Mr. Burke.
Yeah, wonderful to be there.
Thanks a lot. Let's talk about the citizenship legislation. There are some concerns. What is Labour's stance on the citizenship legislation?
We're opposed to the government's proposal, and Labour's opposed to their proposal for two reasons. The first is there's an unreasonable delay that will mean many people wait more than 10 years before they become a citizen. And our second objection is the way they have implemented a new English language test.
Don't you think that a high level of English will help new migrants assimilate and communicate better?
There already is a test that you have to do to become a citizen.
Yes.
And that test is in English. So if you don't have conversational level English, you can't pass the current test. What the government's proposing is an IELTS, an IELTS test, at level 6. That's the same standard of English required to get into most of Australia's universities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very high level of English to require. And what that'll mean is a few things. It'll mean that some people are able to work hard and get up to university level.
Sure.
But plenty of people born in Australia will speak English their whole lives and never get to that, to university level English. And what that will mean will be there will be many immigrants who are permanent residents here who will go through the whole of their working life in Australia and will never get to become citizens. Now, that's terrible for them, unfair for them. It will divide families where some family members have English at that level and some family members don't. But the other thing it will do is change what sort of country Australia is. We've been a country ever since we abolished the White Australia policy where if you're a permanent resident, there's a pathway for you for citizenship. By setting the benchmark that high at university level English, we become, like many countries in the world are, where there will be a permanent underclass of non-citizens. I don't want that for Australia.
And the Labour Party is unanimous in that opinion, that they don't want that kind of high university-level English to be necessary for people becoming citizens here.
That's exactly right. It's unanimous from the Labour Party.
Sure.
And can I tell you one aspect of the bill that I think is particularly awful?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has to have university-level English. So there are about 50 countries in the world that have English as an official language.
Yes.
But only 5 of those countries, if you come from, you won't have to have university-level English.
Right.
Those 5 countries are the United States, Canada, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and Ireland. The 5 majority white countries are the 5 countries that if you come from, you don't need university-level English.
Yeah.
But if you come from India, or you come from Singapore, or you come from a Pacific Island nation that has English as an official language, you will be required to have university-level English.
Okay.
Now, that's a dreadful double standard, and Labour would never support something like that being added to our citizenship laws.
You feel that will affect the unified fabric of the Australian society, and you think that will give rise to a class which you think might become an underprivileged class because of their English language.
Well, that's exactly right. And think of all the different things that come with citizenship. You know, you've got the social issues in terms of the feeling of belonging, the commitment to the nation, being formally welcomed. But then you've also got issues of access to a safety net, full access to tertiary education. There's a series of benefits that come with citizenship as well as the responsibilities. And to have a whole lot of people with the same level of English, but the ones who come from the majority white nations get to become citizens, and the people who don't have university level, but the same as someone from the United States, someone from India, say, or someone from Singapore, gets told, no, you don't get to become a citizen. That's a dreadful double standard.
So if the Labour was in power, y'all will not go about with that English level. The basic English will be sufficient for the Labour Party.
Yeah, our principle is you should have to have conversational
yes.
level English. And
yes.
we say conversational level English for two reasons. The first is that it's a standard everybody can reach. Mm-hmm. So with a bit of effort, some people will have to make some effort to get there, but that's okay. But the second thing is conversational level English helps you have a success within our nation. Okay. It helps you go to the shops. It helps you deal with your neighbours. It helps you with your active voting, being able to participate in the political conversation. It's good for people to have that level of English, but it's a level that everybody can aim for and everyone can achieve.
And what about the extension of permanent residency requirement from 1 year to 4 years? What do you think about that?
I think this will play particularly harshly on people who come from countries such as India, where a large number of people first come on temporary visas when they come to Australia. So if, for example, you come through the refugee program from other parts of the world, you arrive on a permanent visa. So there's already 4 years you have to wait, mm-hmm. and you've already got all 4 years as a permanent on a permanent visa. So the change wouldn't affect you at all.
Right.
But countries like India are a very large number of, and Bangladesh would be another example, Pakistan's one as well, mm-hmm. a series of countries where people on their first visa usually come on a temporary visa, a temporary work yes. visa or a temporary student visa. And often sure. people are on two or three temporary visas before they eventually make it to permanent residency. The real life experience of this change will mean people will be waiting more than a decade, more than 10 years, before they get invited to take up citizenship. Now, I just think that's ridiculous. Someone's already been here for 8 years, they get permanent residence, and you say, oh, no, you've got to wait until you've been here for 12 years? The whole reason for the delay is to give people the chance to experience Australia and for Australia to have a period of time where, as a nation, we're getting to know the person on the visa. But that happens whether you're on a temporary or permanent visa. The extra delay does nothing good for Australia and nothing good for the applicant.
And you think it'll not make Australia an attractive country for migrants to come to?
Well, when you put the measures together, let me tell you what somebody said at a community meeting I held in Perth. Mm-hmm. Now, this particular person, his background was from India, but there would be similar examples from a series of countries.
Sure.
He said to me, I am a highly sought-after, skilled migrant. He said, Canada wanted me, and Australia wanted me. I will pass the tests that you are talking about,
right.
but my wife will not.
Ah.
If I'd known that when the choice was being made, he says, it breaks my heart to say it, but we would have chosen Canada.
Okay.
Because we wouldn't have come to a country that was going to treat me well and my wife poorly.
Right.
And I thought that was really telling, mm-hmm. because there's no doubt that they're both making a fantastic contribution to Australia.
Sure.
There's no doubt we are a better country because they're both here. And there's no doubt that while his wife has conversational level English without having university level English, that that's not preventing her from having a job, from contributing to Australia, and from being a good potential citizen.
Sure.
Why in the face of that the Liberal Party would say, oh, but we don't want you anyway?
Do you think we'd be compromising on security if we give citizenship to people very early? Because as you can see, the fundamental forces around the world are growing, and a lot of the five countries, majority white countries, are a bit concerned about giving new migrants citizenship. What are your thoughts?
I'm so glad you asked me about national security. I really am. And here's the reason. The argument you've just put is the argument that the government puts
right.
for this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two problems with that argument. The first is when I was briefed by the Department of Immigration, I said to them, well, did this come as a recommendation from ASIO? Is this security advice mm-hmm. why we're doing this? And they said no. I said, oh, well, did it come from the Australian Federal Police? And they said no. I then asked, well, did it come from any security agency at all? Or intelligence organisation? And they said no. I said, where did it come from? And they said, oh, it's a recommendation from a report written by two members of the Liberal Party, Connie Ferravanti-Wells and Philip Ruddock. Now, national security is taken very seriously by the Labor
sure.
Party. And when we get national security legislation, it comes on advice from national security agencies, and it goes through a process where we try very hard, and usually do, reach agreement with the government, so that national security is completely beyond politics. This one is not national security legislation. And if you think of it in these terms, everybody who applies for citizenship is already a permanent resident. If they're a security problem, they should not be a permanent resident. They shouldn't be here already. So I think no matter which way you look at it, the national security argument that the government puts just doesn't stack up. This is a bill, these are changes that for whatever reason are deliberately designed to prevent people from ever becoming Australian citizens.
Mr. Burke, you're a member from Watson, which is a very multicultural area. What is your vision of multiculturalism for Australia's future?
My view is we're a nation of 24 million stories, and everyone's story is equally valid. There's two sorts of stories. There's either an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander story that goes all the way back to the first sunrise on this land, or it's a story of immigration. And no one's immigration story is more valid than anyone else's immigration story. You know, I was briefly Australia's Minister for Citizenship.
Yes.
And one of the great privileges you get when you're Minister for Citizenship is you get to write the message that is read out at every single citizenship ceremony. And the thing I used to always want to remind people of was when they become citizens, their story becomes part of Australia's story. We are enriched as a nation at that moment. And the two words that I had at the end of that message, which I desperately want to get back onto the message because when the Liberals came in, they got rid of them. But the two words that message used to finish with to all new citizens were, welcome home. And for me, that's what citizenship's all about.
Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Burke, today. And may the story with the best moral resonate with the new migrants. Thanks again.
It's a great pleasure to be on your program.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. Bye.